The US's John Kerry in Russia and Iran's Salehi in Damascus. Much is being said about the crisis in Syria and how it should be resolved. Israel's recent airstrikes against Syria are causing concerns of a regional spillover. With the UN investigator confirming that chemical weapons were used by the insurgents and not the government, the question is, will the US and its allies continue to push for a military rather than a political solution? You're watching The Debate.
The pressure on the Syrian government continues. Reports say the US is going to provide arms directly to the insurgents fighting the Syrian government. A US senator has said the aim of this move is to change the balance of power in the region. Another American senator has said Washington will give arms to the militants. US lawmakers have been pushing President Barack Obama to arm the insurgents. The US Secretary of State John Kerry has held talks in Moscow to get the Russians on board over Syria.
The United States believes that we share some very significant common interests with respect to Syria.
So far, Russia has resisted calls for regime change in the Arab country. All these diplomatic efforts have come after Israel's huge airstrikes against Syria on Sunday. Meanwhile, on the ground, Syrian government troops are making gains against the foreign-backed insurgents. The army has regained control of many areas, and it's pressuring ahead with its offensive to clear other regions of the insurgents. Amid fears of a spillover of the Syrian crisis into the rest of the Middle East, some regional countries are warning against the consequences of any foreign intervention in Syria. Speaking in Jordan, Iran's Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi said the Syrian crisis should be resolved diplomatically.
We refuse any solution forced from outside. We are against any foreign intervention in Syria. We have seen what has happened in some countries, which I will not name, after they faced foreign intervention. We don't want history to repeat itself in Syria.
After his visit to Amman, Salehi flew into Syria for talks with President Bashar al-Assad. The latest developments in Syria have come on the heels of alleged chemical attacks in Syria. The warring sides in the country have blamed each other for the attacks, but the UN human rights investigator Carla Del Ponte has said the insurgents used the deadly chemical agent sarin in the conflict. This has angered the militants. The US, the main backer of the militants, insists that they were not behind the chemical attacks.
That we are highly skeptical of any suggestions or accusations that the opposition used chemical weapons. We find it highly likely that chemical weapons, if they were in fact used in Syria, and there is certainly evidence that they were, the Assad regime was responsible.
The US, as well as its Western and regional allies, has thrown its full weight behind the insurgents in Syria. Analysts say that the West is seeking to secure its strategic geopolitical interest by toppling the Syrian government.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is Mr. Danny Mackey. He's co-founder of Syrian Youth in Britain. And with us live from Washington, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, senior fellow of the Center for American Progress. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on this edition of The Debate. My first question to our guest in Washington, Mr. Korb. We'll start with the issue of Israeli airstrikes on Syria and move on from there. Mr. Korb, the threat of regional instability as a result of Israeli airstrikes is now being discussed by many. Do you think that that threat is serious?
Well, I think that's why Secretary Kerry is in Moscow to try and get the Russians to work with the rest of the international community to bring this conflict to an end. Because right now you can't get a Security Council resolution that would authorize involvement by the international community to stop the bloodshed as long as you have a Russian veto.
So you're saying that the United States is in Russia to bring some kind of an end to Israeli airstrikes in Syria?
Well, I mean, the Israeli airstrikes basically were to deal with weapons that they were afraid would go to Hezbollah. In fact, the Israelis have urged us not to get involved in the conflict. Their main concern, just as they've been back in 2007 when they attacked the Syrians developing nuclear weapons is to keep that conflict from spreading. They're not taking sides in the conflict. They're protecting their own interests to make sure that Hezbollah, which has fired thousands of rockets against Israel over the years, does not get more lethal weapons.
Okay, well, this is what Israel has said itself. It said that the airstrikes that it's launched on Syria are meant to prevent weapons from reaching Hezbollah. Let's just bring in Mr. Mackey on this as well. Mr. Mackey, some are saying that the Israeli airstrikes are not meant, for instance, as some are suspecting, as a prelude for military intervention, whatever, but they're more about exerting pressure on the Assad government. What do you think about that?
Of course, it is very, very conceivable that Israel would use this time where Syria is facing great internal strife to exert its hegemony and perpetuate its geopolitical interests, using the chemical weapons issue and using the issue of weapons reaching Hezbollah as a pretext for striking Syria and exerting their authority in what is a Syria which has been weakened by internal strife and struggle. The big problem in the Syria crisis is not the Russian veto. The Russian position towards Syria has been, we support any political solution, any negotiations between warring sides in Syria to find a peaceful solution to this conflict. It is the United States who are creating the crisis. It is America who have created the war. It is America who armed the rebels and America who want to seek a policy of regime change. But Russia are not in the business of regime change. This is why Kerry is in Moscow practically begging the Russians to agree to a form or mechanism to lead to a political settlement. Moreover, the issue with Israel, there would be no legitimate reason why Syria would want to send weapons or any game-changing weapons to Hezbollah at this moment in time when it faces an internal war which is bleeding their army dry. It is actually abhorrent for anyone to conceive of the fact that Syria would use this time, this delicate internal time, to send weapons to Hezbollah.
Yes.
They could have used the last 10 years to send weapons to Hezbollah. There would be no real idea that Syria would necessitate a transformation of weapons from Syria to Hezbollah via Iran at a time where Syria is facing an internal war. This is absolute lunacy.
Okay. Well, Mr. Korb, do you think, however, which we should see these moves as moves for setting the stage for a U.S. or NATO-led military intervention in Syria?
Well, I think if you had a U.N. authorization, then I think NATO might be willing to act. But the great irony is that President Obama is under increasing pressure to do something. He has so far resisted all of the calls, particularly among members of the political opposition. If the United States were to do something, basically, I think it would have to be sanctioned by the UN and by NATO, as the intervention in Libya was.
Well, one thing that's been raised right here, I'll put this question to Mr. Mackey and I'll be back with it to our guests in Washington. Mr. Mackey, we're hearing right now UN investigators saying that, confirming rather, that chemical weapons were used in Syria, but not by the government, by the insurgents, according to that UN investigative report. Does this mean a change of plans by the United States? Will it serve as a game changer? We know that the US had said that that's our red line, and if it's proved that the Saudi government has used chemical arms, we're going to take another path, we're going to take supposedly a military path.
Of course, the terminology of using the word game changer is very significant here. Obama stated that a red line would be crossed if he found out weapons were used of a chemical nature. Now, the United Nations, which is the most the biggest international organization with credibility and links to the ground, have established with credible evidence that the rebel forces are the ones who have used lethal sarin gas, which is a nerve gas, on civilians and Syrian army soldiers, and that the rebel forces and the Al-Qaeda militants are the only forces on the ground who have used chemical weapons. What this essentially does is expose and make susceptible the Western media frenzy which we've had over the recent weeks on the concept of chemical weapons. First of all, they stated that the Syrian government used them, using evidence which was essentially fabricated and tampered with on the ground. When it is now established that it is the rebels who have used them, the whole of the international media and international states have remained silent instead of condemning this atrocity which was committed by rebel forces. What this essentially shows is that the United States of America transcends just an unethical foreign policy in regard to Syria. the United States of America seek a policy of ultimate regime change, and it would not really make a difference to them whether chemical weapons were used by the rebels or not. The most significant question is whether the United States would still arm the rebels if it was established to the fullest extent that they used chemical weapons. The concept is that the United States of America has a foreign policy which is based on hypocrisy, terrorism, and regime change, and allying themselves with the most radical, fundamentalist Islamic groups in the whole of the world.
So one question that you raised there, Mr. Mackey, if I can just stop you if I may, is...
So they would arm the rebels. Yes. That is the answer.
Okay. You're saying here that now that this investigation has shown that chemical arms were used by insurgents, let's look at how the United States, for one, is going to react, it's going to respond to this. Up until now, we haven't seen that response. Mr. Korb, do you think that with this confirmation now, the United States should change the way that it's dealing with the situation in Syria in terms of its support for the insurgents there?
Well, basically, the arms that are going to the insurgents are not coming from the United States. They're coming from other Arab countries. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates are ones that are providing the aid. And by the way, the UN has backed off. They said they're not sure right now. Yesterday, one member of the investigative commission basically said he thinks it might have been the rebels. He's changed his mind today. But the way to answer that is to let the UN inspectors in. President Assad just wants them to go to one particular place. Let them in, let them find out, and then we will really know. And President Obama it's interesting. President Obama is being criticized for not doing anything, not for what he's done. He's only provided non-lethal aid. He has not provided any arms to the rebels. The main arms are coming from other Arab countries, not from the United States. Thanks.
Okay, before we move on this, I'm just being told that we're going to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about this issue. We'll look at them and we'll be back with the rest of this discussion.
I'm really getting confused. We celebrate the killing of Osama bin Laden near Islamabad while the CIA helps Osama's followers fighting in Syria. Obama, what is the game? Israel launched airstrikes to test Syria's air defense capabilities in order to prepare for the big attack on Syria. The West and its allies are after a military intervention. So far, Syrian armed forces have stopped the insurgents from taking any safe haven inside Syria. Now, Israel, after its apology to Turkey and after Obama's visit to Tel Aviv, has taken the initiative by attacking Syria to provide support to the insurgents. It has been known from the beginning that toppling Assad's government is the goal. They want relief for Israel after Mubarak's regime toppled in Egypt. And they want to shield Saudi Arabia from the Arab Spring wave by militarizing the conflict in Syria.
Some of the comments posted on our Facebook page about today's debate. Right to London now, our guest there, Mr. Mackey. Earlier on, Mr. Mackey, Mr. Korb in Washington was telling us that, in fact, President Barack Obama is being criticized for not taking enough action on Syria and that it's not been the United States providing arms, weapons, so to speak, for the militants. These have been coming from regional countries, but not from the United States. What do you think about the policy that President Obama is pursuing in Syria? Would you call it a policy of inaction?
Inaction is completely the wrong word to use. The policy which Obama has taken in Syria is to attempt to arm and fund and assist the most radical Islamic movements on the ground. What the Americans have done since the beginning of the crisis is send constant streams of condemnation, of criticizing the Syrian government, of asking them to resign, of directly violating and interfering in the internal affairs of a sovereign state, of calling for a policy of regime change. If you remember at the beginning of the crisis, when the Syrian government set out its plan to allow the rebels to take away their arms and they would be allowed to return to their civilian lives. Hillary Clinton stated they shouldn't. She said they should remain carrying arms to fight the Syrian government. America has had a policy of agitating the Syria crisis, of creating Syria into a theater for terrorism, of seeking to change the Syrian regime by force or using regional proxies such as Qatar and Saudi Arabia. America has been sending non-lethal aid to the Syrian rebels, of course, but at the same time, this has been assisting and lethalizing the lethal aid that they have been sending, such as Stinger missiles to the rebels, which have been reaching rebel movements via Turkey. America has a major role to play in the Syria crisis. After Israel bombed Syria in the airstrikes, the Americans said that it was well within Israeli right to use military force to protect themselves against Syria. So what America essentially does is have a foreign policy of hypocrisy and funding and aiding terrorism. What Americans should be doing is seeking a political solution as yes. opposed to seeking regime change, which in essence would be very against their interest in the long term. As to what is happening in Syria. The second concept is that of the weapons inspectors. If you remember what happened in Iraq with the chemical weapons, they came in, they established that Saddam Hussein was making chemical weapons, which yes. he was not, and they all stated he was not after. This was used and utilized by Western states as a pretext for yes. invading, occupying, raping, and colonizing Iraq. So what they would do by sending weapon inspectors is use a highly politicized group of essentially agents who were sent from Western countries to establish Syria has used chemical weapons when it hasn't, and it would not do in any, because there is no military logic in using chemical weapons, and use it as a pretext to invade and attack Syria, which would be done from regional countries with the blessing of the United States. So what we ultimately see is Israel reacting to the situation yes. on the ground with the blessing of the United States of America, because Israel now seeks to change the regime yes. in Syria, as the Syrian army has been destroying the armed
groups
on the ground.
You mentioned there a few times, Mr. Mackey, that you believe the fact that the United States is insisting on regime change is a problem in itself. Let's bring in Mr. Korb on this and get his opinion. Now, Mr. Korb, the US has been accused by a lot of countries, a lot of observers, that it's blocking actually a dialogue, it's blocking a political solution to the situation. Even references have been made to the Israeli-Palestinian situation. They say in that case, the United States has been for years and years calling for a negotiated solution. We know the situation, the violence that's now between the Palestinians and Israel. Whereas for Syria, we are hearing not much support for a political solution, rather suggesting that this can only work militarily. Why?
Well, I think if you go back and you take a look, the United States did negotiate back in 2001 an agreement, or 2000, between the Israelis and Palestinians that Arafat turned down, and before he died, he regretted that he had turned it down. And then, of course, the Palestinians split. You've got Fatah and Hamas. There's no one who speaks for them. And Fayyad, who was Abu Mas's, prime minister, he's just stepped down, frustrated at his own people, in addition to the Israelis. And when President Obama went to Israel, he basically told the Israeli young people, put yourself in the situation of the Palestinians. Remember your heritage and the things that you stand for. So no, the United States has been involved. Secretary Kerry is trying to get the peace process started again.
And yes, that was the point I made. It is pushing
Syria,
for negotiations
basically, you
and
had
dialogue.
Peaceful protests that started this that had nothing to do yes. with the United States. And basically Assad, like his father, turned his arms on these peaceful protesters. That's what led to this violence. And then Al-Qaeda yes. came in, affiliated groups, and took advantage of it.
A reference there to Al-Qaeda, to the terrorist groups involved, and now a serious threat that these terrorist groups could even be using dangerous weapons like chemical arms against civilians. We've seen, of course, all the reports coming in from the terrorist activities, the bombings that take place in Damascus. Mr. Korb, again, with the fact that terrorists are right now active in Syria, and according to a lot of media reports that we're hearing, a bulk of the militants in Syria include terrorists, would it be wise to continue with the policy of supporting the militants, of continuing to arm and fund them, or would it be wiser to end this politically?
Well, the United States says that any aid that they give is not going to these terrorist groups. They're going to the Free Syrian Army, which is not a terrorist group. They're a group of citizens like you had in Egypt and Tunisia who basically want the Assad family to share the wealth and the privileges of Syria with the whole population and not just take care of themselves.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, Mr. Maki? A lot of people are saying that that simply is not possible. You can't determine who the arms reach once they're in Syria. First of all, they're saying that the number of terrorists is well beyond those who can be considered as the ordinary fighters. And secondly, who is there to determine which weapons reach which groups?
There is no criteria or any known notion that any weapons sent by the United States will not reach these radical Islamist groups. When your guest references the FSA are essentially a militia. The majority of them are Islamist. There are no secular liberal forces. And in recent weeks, we've seen the disappearance of the FSA. The ultimate game changer is the fact that the majority of the militants on the ground are Islamist. Jabhat al-Nusra, al-Nusra Front, is the greatest force in terms of the militias on the opposition forces on the ground. They control the arms, they control the money, they have the ideology of extremist radicalization, which is destroying Syria on a day-to-day basis. The FSA is essentially a facade, just a mirage, an illusion shown to the West that there are secular free fighters. There are no secular fighters, there are no free fighters, because violence started at the very start of the Syria crisis. The Americans helped the Free Syrian Army, the so-called Free Syrian Army at the start. America do not seek a political solution in America because they want the conflict to prolong, they want the Syrians to kill each other, and they want to essentially sit in the ashes of Syria and gauge a political interest out of the death of Syria. But on the contrary, this will not happen, as the Syrian army has remained strong, and the concept that the Free Syrian Army are essentially civilians is completely it's ludicrous, because there are thousands, 40,000, as Al-Akhdar Ibrahimi stated once, foreign fighters inside of Syria, Chechens, Afghans, they've come from all corners of the world to fight in terms of jihad against the Syrian government, supplied by arms by the West, clapping while Israel airstrikes Syria. So essentially the Free Syrian Army he discusses is essentially allied directly to Israel and America. And what these Wahhabi groups essentially do is support and serve the interests of Western countries by dividing Syria. There is no ultimate gain to be made or measured in the Syria crisis for the opposition groups, because Syria is essentially going to turn out into a failed state if the Americans seek a policy of militarization any further. But I do not think this will happen, as the Syrian army has shown a level of stability on the ground and has measured its responses to the armed groups with much ruthless capacity, as shown in recent weeks, with the advancements of the Syrian army, which has led Israel and other regional actors to intervene more directly in the Syria crisis and exert their hegemony inside of Syria, due to the fact that the armed groups, which they thought would be the instruments of regime change, have no longer been able to seek this form of regime change due to the defeats they have been suffering at the hands of the Syrian army recently.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time. A big thank you there to Danny Maki. He's co-founder of Syrian Youth in Britain, with us live from London. I'd also like to thank our guest in Washington, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, a senior fellow of the Center for American Progress. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lesky, until our next programme, it's goodbye.